Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of peace, liberation, health, wellness, sustainability, and freedom. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station, nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Much thanks to our listeners for tuning in. We're celebrating the 20th anniversary of International Respect for Chickens Day and month, all month long, May. The International Respect for Chickens Day was founded by Dr. Karen Davis in 2005. Rest in peace, Karen. Here's one of Karen Davis's many lectures, and this is from 2015. Enjoy.
I certainly think that humane education is a key to creating a society that learns to respect animals and to respect their dignity and to feel the compassion that our fellow creatures need and deserve from us. We all want to be treated with compassion. We want our dignity to be respected, but in our society, we are often not very adept at teaching our children to respect the feelings of dogs, cats, birds, and other animals who share the planet with us and share our neighborhoods with us. So it is very important that we find ways to bring humane education, for example, into the classroom as early as possible, because young children want to be kind to animals, I believe, for the most part. I think that it's true that children have an affinity for animals, even though I think children can also be very cruel to animals, because I know that from my own upbringing. But again, a lot of our impulses, which are often in contradiction to each other, how we're going to develop as human beings, as individuals, is going to be determined by the kind of lessons we get from the significant adults in our lives, our parents, our teachers, our churches, those around us. So I think it's very important that humane education almost needs to begin with adults. We need to understand how important our influence is on young children, starting at the earliest possible ages. Because if young children have sensitive feelings for animals, as I believe that most do, but they don't get any support from the adults around them, or they are actually taught to enjoy being cruel to animals, like barnyard rodeos and chases and things where poor little children who are scared and many times don't understand what they're being made to do, but they're being conditioned to the idea that it's normal to be cruel to animals and to dominate and abuse them, and that it's okay and this is what God wants, etc., etc. So little children will be forced to run out into a field where chickens are set free and goats and pigs, and they have to grab these animals. They're supposed to grab them by any body part and drag them around. And the parents are cheering them on, and yet some of the children are crying again. They're scared, they're bewildered. We can be sure that children maybe don't want to do this, but they are stuck in a situation where they are looking up to their parents, where they're beholden to the adults in their world to please them and to want to please them. So certainly as adults, we need to be humanely educated. We have to pretty much humanely educate ourselves and to want to be humanely educated. And then we want to support our children to not to feel that they're going to be ridiculed if they have compassion for any kind of animal. And I mean, it starts too with how children are encouraged to behave with one another in their own group. group. As I once taught in a daycare center called, believe it or not, the Little Red Hen in Baltimore, Maryland, a forecast of my future, unbeknown to me at that time. And you just have a wonderful opportunity with children to help them to develop empathy for other children. How would you feel if you were treated like this? What if you, again, children can be taught to care. And it isn't just imposing an attitude upon them so much as bringing out from within them the feelings that they have of empathy and sympathy for a fellow being. But that can be so easily wounded and so trampled upon, particularly by ridicule, particularly by saying, oh, come on now, you're boys especially, as much as girls, even more in some ways, experience being laughed at if they show any compassion for an animal. They're called babies and acting like a girl, and boys are more scared of not pleasing their fathers or their uncles or being called a girl or a sissy than they are about doing something that their whole nature really rebels against, particularly at those young ages. There are stories of young boys who say they did not want to go hunting with their dads, but they felt they had to. They couldn't let their dad think they were weak and cowardly. And I saw that in my own family. My father screaming at my brother when he said he wanted to go out with his girlfriend instead of going hunting with his dad. And my father just lit into my brother and screamed and hollered at him and basically told him he was not a man and all that kind of stuff. So I really think it's important for us to understand when we hear about how girls are oppressed in patriarchal societies. Well, boys are oppressed in patriarchal societies too. So we want to create a world, again, where in the classroom and in the home and in any of the places where children come into adult contact, we want to be mentors to children, to teach them that it's good. It's good to cry over the suffering of an animal. It's good to want to come to an animal's rescue. It shows courage to stand against the crowd. Not that we're encouraging our children to go out there and be beaten up or something like that because they showed an opposition to their social group, but to learn that real courage is standing up for those who can't defend themselves. That real courage means standing up against the mob, against the crowd, and that caring about any fellow being and wanting to help them and to stand by them is an act of courage that really we all need, we all want for ourselves. And if we want that for ourselves, as with the golden rule, we want to bestow that upon others. We want to show that to others. We want to identify with others and their feelings. We want to, as adults, we want to nurture feelings of care and compassion. And as children, we want to be able to feel that we can show feelings of care and compassion without feeling that we're going to experience some kind of scorn from our fellow classmates to our parents or anybody else in the adult world that we are forced to be in until we're out on our own. You care about living beings. You care about your own species, but you care about others too. And they matter too.
That was Dr. Karen Davis's talk at Brock University in 2015. An edited shortened version. And that recording is from the video channel of United Poultry Concerns. UPC, United Poultry Concerns, is the organization that Karen Davis founded. Thank you for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Let's have a little musical interlude.
On plants, 100% and be kinder and happier and healthier earthlings. Can we examine our deepest conditioning? And can honestly at our own participation? Well, you wouldn't drink milk from an aardvark or a jaguar or a zebra. It would be really weird if you saw it in the store, and you wouldn't drink it in the wild either. And who decided which creatures are okay to eat and which aren't? Oh, doesn't it just make a ton more sense to eat none of them? Question our assumptions and definitions around justice and equality, respect and inclusion.
You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Nair in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll take a little break and then we'll continue with our program. Welcome back from the break, and thank you very much for tuning in to Vegan Nation.
What if we freed the cows and the chickens and the pigs and the horses and the rabbits and the little lambs too, and let them live with their families without the threat of being used? For they do experience pleasure and pain and fear and love and loss and joy. Oh, they want to be happy and safe and free. They want to live just like you and me. Oh, can we extract ourselves from systems of oppression? And can we move closer to true and lasting liberation? And can we surrender our rationalizations? And can we awaken to our internalized speciesism? Oh, can we widen our circle of compassion to encompass all our animal friends and relations? And let the animals sing, let the animals sing. We're your friends, we're not your food. We have families and feelings just like you. We were meant to be living wild and free in this world. We're not your food, we are your friends. And we don't want to be your ingredients. And you can help to bring this harming to an end. We are your friends, we're not your food. And we're part of your earth and neighborhood. You know you're not free till we are free. It's true, it's true, it's true. We're not your food, we are your friends. We don't want to be your ingredients. We're your relatives, your community. Be kind, be peace, be love. You'll see that you can bring this harming to an end.
On May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, 2025, UPC United Poultry Concerns are once again running their What Wings Are For, Life Can Be Beautiful, Go Vegan ads on a truck driving around Washington, D.C., downtown Washington, D.C., for 8 hours each day.
I think, therefore I am a vegan. World peace begins in the kitchen.
This is a snippet of my interview with Dr. Karen Davis on May 1st, 2015. Thank you, Dr. Davis, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Well, thank you, Marlene. I'm really delighted to be on your show to talk about chickens and about our annual International Respect for Chickens Day, May 4th, and we designate the entire month of May as International Respect for Chickens Month, and we urge people to consider every single day as Respect for Chickens Day. I tell people that as animal activists, we never want to give in to foregone conclusionism. We never want to assume that people are not going to care about chickens or that people are never going to change their diet to a compassionate vegan diet, that we always have to accentuate the positive and be affirmative in our advocacy about why these birds matter, why animal advocacy and animals themselves matter, and why a vegan diet, and what I like to call an animal-free diet, is an ethical diet, a healthful diet, and certainly an environmentally friendly diet.
Thank you, Dr. Davis. Could you share with us some of the insights of how the oppression and exploitation, violence and abuse towards hens in the egg industry is related to misogyny?
The fact that farmed animals, chickens, hens maybe in particular, are treated and viewed as passive beings upon whom an agent or an agency acts, penetrates. So you have this idea of these beings are here for us to invade their bodies as we wish, and they themselves have no agency in the situation, and often it's represented as that the animals or the hens themselves are happy to be treated the way they're treated, or that they give their eggs to us, or their flesh for that matter. They give their flesh to us willingly.
farmed animals are considered to have been bred for docility, you know, being docile and being passive and being unable to live in the so-called wild, just as women have often been considered incapable of functioning well outside the kitchen or the bedroom or anyway, the household. And we urge people in our movement to not talk about the problem being factory farming, but to say it's animal farming, because the real problem is animal farming itself. And really, when you get down to it, all animal farming is factory farming. That is, the attitude towards the animals being farmed on the part of farmers or whoever is exploiting them for money and consumption, and the attitude of farming since time immemorial towards animals being raised for human consumption, whether on the farm or being sold to the local town or cities far and wide, has always been that these animals are brought into the world to be food for us. They were given to us by God or whoever as a resource.
We're listening to Dr. Karen Davis, founder of United Poultry Concerns, an international respect for Chickens Day and month, the entire month of May. This is a snippet of my interview with Dr. Davis back in 2015, May 1st, 2015. Thank you for tuning into Vegan Nation. Let's have a little musical interlude. This is Vegan Smythe, Chicken Man.
So tell me, where did all the boy chicks go? Are they coming out to play? Well, surely they weren't all given the gas at the age of just one day.
Surely not.
Surely they weren't just tossed aside and suffocated in a vat. I mean, what kind of evil, heartless, fucking bastard could do that? I mean, really, who'd do that? I mean, really, who'd allow that? I mean, really, who'd buy a product that contributed to that? I'm a girl on death row, crushed and tortured with my clan. And I'm gonna lay 500 eggs in my 19-month lifespan. But it just makes no sense that among these countless hens, I have never once got to lay my weary eyes on a chicken man. Oh, where did all the roosters go? Where are all the cocks? 'Cause there's no one around here in trousers, and so f***ing many of us in frocks. I'm asking, where did all the boy chicks go? I'm really none the wiser. Surely they weren't all macerated in a big steel pulverizer.
Surely not.
Surely they weren't just tossed aside and suffocated in a vat. I mean, what kind of evil, heartless, fucking bastard could do that? I mean, really, who'd do that? I mean, really, who'd allow that? I mean, really, who'd buy a product that contributed to that? I'm just my mother's daughter, low down in the pecking order, and I've laid my head for a frying.
Then they will impose mutilations on them. Mutilations go back way back in history. It's a long story, whether it's chickens or other animals. It's a long story, and it isn't just Western capitalism starting in the 20th century, but the whole history of animal farming is not a picture of happiness, really, when you get down to it. But chickens, for example, even if they are called organic or they're have some other happy-sounding label, they usually are, almost always, if they're being used and raised commercially, they are born in mechanical hatcheries. They never, ever have any contact with their own mothers or their own fathers. When chickens are commercialized, the eggs are taken away from the mother hen, the fertilized eggs. They're put in these mechanical drawers in these huge hatcheries, So the birds are born without any experience of a family life, no mother, no father. The hens particularly, who are going to be used in any type of egg production, have their beaks burned off, or they also have an infrared type of laser that causes their beaks to crumble off after a week or so. It's very painful and cruel. And then the birds are often sent by airmail to these various small farms or for 4-H or for classroom hatching project. And the transportation of baby birds in dark boxes in airplanes is another extreme cruelty. Of course, we can assume that they're very scared. Really, if you go to some of these so-called organic or cage-free operations, you would be hard-pressed to see the difference between those and a standard factory farm. It would really be the scale that would be different. At some point or other, when birds, for example, stop laying enough eggs to be considered commercially worth keeping, or in the case of the birds who are bred for meat production, well, of course, they're going to be slaughtered. So either they're going to be slaughtered on the site if it's a small operation, and slaughter is very cruel and very painful. Throat cutting is not a painless operation by any means. It's horrifying. It's cruel because the neck of the birds is full of pain receptors and other kinds of receptors that experience a cold knife cutting in through the skin, through the flesh, into the trachea and the blood vessels and so on. Or they may be gassed with carbon dioxide. They may be thrown 200 or 300 or 400 into these metal boxes, and then they shoot cold, freezing cold carbon dioxide gas into these metal boxes, and it's a horrible death. They're just doomed so that people can have their flesh or their eggs, and all for nothing, because as you know, and I hope most of your listeners know, that we do not need to eat eggs or any animal flesh or drink any animal's nursing milk in order to be healthy, and that we would be much better off without having those products in our bodies. And we always tell people that misery is not a health food, and all of these animals, these birds and other animals, really do not have happy lives where they are treated with the respect they deserve and where they have conditions that really are suitable to them and their family life when they're considered a farm animal.
Leo Tolstoy said, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. And Albert Schweitzer said, until we extend the circle of our compassion to all living things, we will not find peace.
A word about International Respect for Chickens Day, because we do want to encourage people to do something for chickens. You know, not to just agree with us, but to do something. And International Respect for Chickens Day, or really the month of May, we urge people to do an action for chickens on or around May 4th. Including anything from leafleting on a busy street corner to holding an office party or a classroom celebration to writing a letter to the editor or doing a radio call-in, tabling at their local church or school or shopping mall, holding a vegan open house, simply talking to their family or friends or even strangers. So we want people to know about the plight and the delight of chickens, but we want people to go further than that. We want people to do something. We want people, obviously, to stop eating chickens and stop eating their eggs. And we want people to be vegan and to choose an animal-free diet. But we also want people to incorporate activism into their lives, however they can do that. And so we want people to do something for chickens that reaches out to other people educationally.
And let's give a cluck and go vegan.
That's right. Give a cluck, go vegan. So, yes, thank you so much. We'll actually be in Washington, D.C. I'll be up in Washington, D.C. on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. The 2nd, we will be leafleting at the White House for chickens, as we do every year for International Respect for Chickens Day.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, and thank you for helping the chickens.
We appreciate you.
Thank you, Marlene.
I'd like to thank Dr. Karen Davis for joining us on Vegan Nation. Let's go out with this great song by Charity and the Jam Band from their vegan album, Making Cookies from Plants.
You get the sugar from the cane or the cocoa. chips from the cacao bean. And the cashews from the little nut tree. They get the flour from the wheat or something gluten free. They get the oil from the fat of those chubby bitches. Coconut, avocado, sunflower, pretty things for making cookies.
Happy 20th anniversary to International Respect for Chickens Day.
Come on and take a little chance for making harmless. From a little ground flax. And then the mama hen doesn't even have to feel sad. And make her own yummy milk from seeds, legumes, nuts, or grains. And then the mama cow can keep her milk for her baby. And then the cows and the chickens can get back to their lives while we make cookies that will blow our minds. Making cookies from flax. I do a little dance, I'm making cookies from plants. Do a little cookie dance, I'm making cookies from plants. Come on and take a little chance, we're making harmless, human, compassionate, deliciously insane cookies. Do the cookie dance!
Much thanks for tuning into Vegan Nation. A big shout out to all at UPC and all who are participating in International Respect for Chickens Day and the whole month of May. This is Marlena, Massachusetts, wishing you a safe and pleasant day. And the tree. And the sun and the rain, soil, air, and seeds. Oh, we're growing up for all the people to eat. Yeah, we're growing up. Much thanks for tuning into Vegan Nation. And thank you also to the musicians Will Tuttle and Charity and the Jam Band. We heard Are You Kind and Making Cookies from Plants. And also to vegan musician Vegan Smythe in Australia. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. Peace.
Whoever is exploiting them for money and consumption really does not have the kind of attitude and view of them that we would call compassionate and truly respectful and humane.
Let's give a cluck and go vegan.
That's right. Give a cluck, go vegan.
Cock-a-doodle.